But first, just yesterday we were hoping for further talks with President Joe Biden and President Vladimir Putin to head off war. This was all predicated on the Russians keeping their forces in check. Yet no change is discernible to the Russian plans, and President Putin has today sent troops into the Donbass region under the guise of peacekeepers. The US spelled out its response in a special sitting of the United Nations.
President Biden issued an executive order today that will prohibit new investment, trade, and financing in the so-called DPR and LPR regions. Tomorrow, the United States will take further measures to hold Russia accountable for this clear violation of international law and Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. But we and our partners have been clear that there will be a swift and severe response were Russia to further invade Ukraine.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, setting out the U.S. response there in the United Nations emergency session today. I asked Stefan Romaniv, OAM, Chairman of the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organisations, for his reaction to the Russian troops being sent in to the Ukrainian Donbass provinces.
Sad day for the international community and obviously for the Ukrainian community in Australia and most importantly for people in Ukraine.
The Donbass region has a lot of Russian speakers. Vladimir Putin says that he needs to protect them from the excesses of the Ukrainian government. What do you think he's worried about?
Donbass region, Donetsk and Luhansk, has Russian speakers who are Ukrainian. And I think we confuse two things here. Just because somebody's a Russian speaker doesn't make them not Ukrainian. Because I've been to Donetsk, I've been to Luhansk, and if you want a more patriotic Ukrainian community, you won't find that than less than in Donetsk and Luhansk. What he's doing is creating an excuse to invade Ukraine. And that's all it is. And people need to understand that Donetsk and Luhansk, that Donbass region, has territorial integrity, which is Ukraine, and that his fabrication of what's happening is absolutely, to put it mildly, it's disgusting. And the most dangerous thing now is that Ukraine has definitely said, and the international community said, we don't want war. But now he's sending, in inverted commas, peacekeepers into a territory that doesn't need peacekeeping, but he's now going to create bloodshed. And who's going to be responsible for that bloodshed? And I've said today numerous times, there are over 14,000 soldiers have been killed. Ukrainian soldiers have died because of Russian aggression.
The cities themselves of Donetsk and Luhansk, are they going to be taken over by the Russians, do you think?
There are five different scenarios that he could play. What he's done is, this is one of the scenarios, is to fabricate a situation. In other words, I have to come and save. Well, who are you saving? Saving from who and from what? The evidence is there now that the shelling and et cetera has been instigated by Russian troops. Russian disinformation, propaganda, and he's trying to convince the world. You might remember what he said the other day, that there is genocide in the Donbass region. So what he's talking about is there were 7 to 10 million people died under Stalin and Holodomor. There was the Holocaust. There's genocide, and you're trying to equate that to something that you've created?
He also says there's neo-Nazis in the Ukrainian forces. Is there any basis to that?
Again, Russian disinformation, Russian propaganda. They have used this line of ultra-nationalists time and time again. You know, in every country, there are people who are of different persuasions. If the Ukrainian army is the Ukrainian National Army. Ukrainian National Army. It's an army. What he's trying to equate again, he's trying to play that game. He's trying to create the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, Stepan Bandera, all these parts of history which have nothing to do with the truth.
So where it is at the moment, Do you think that he's looking for the strategic advantage of getting the Donbass region and then going no further, or do you think he has further ambitions?
You'll recall that Mr. Putin, in one of his speeches, has said that one of the biggest tragedies of 20th century was the fact that the Soviet Union broke up and that he needs to bring that together. So if people think he's just doing one little thing, we're talking about Belarus, we're talking about Georgia, we're talking about Moldova, we're talking about a whole range of countries, that countries, independent countries with sovereign rights. He wants to recreate something, and that has to be stopped, because 92% of people in 1991, including Donetsk and Luhansk, voted for independence. 183 countries out of the 190, whatever it is, at the UN have diplomatic relations with Ukraine. It's an independent country. He can't fathom that. He thinks he's going to be able to just walk in and he will find the resistance. Does anybody want a war? No, but we are on the brink. We're on the brink of the world having to make an important decision, because as you rightly said before, he has contravened international law. He wants to bring in troops into a sovereign country. He wants to, what else do you call it? Invasion.
Stefan Romanev, OAM, Chairman of the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organisations, speaking with me there.